CEO's Conversations. Conversaciones con los CEOs. Un programa dirigido y presentado por Luis Álvarez Satorre.
Un día más estamos en nuestras conversaciones con los CEOs, ese momento íntimo de compartir con ellos, con ellas, sus experiencias y su conocimiento en la aventura que supone estar al frente de una organización. Hoy contamos con un personaje en el mundo digital, que es Mirthe van der Erf. Ella es la CEO de T&W, algunos lo conoceréis como The Next Web, y bueno, vamos a tener esa conversación. Hello, Mirthe.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Well, thank you for taking the time to be with us today. For me, it's very special as you are so close to some of the topics that we normally discuss here, which is around the digital world, and I'm sure we are going to go through that journey in our conversation today. The first thing I normally ask, and it's a pleasure to do it to you as well, is who is Mirthe?
Yeah, so, well, good question. And I think it's also a very elaborate question. So who's Mirthe? I mean, obviously, you introduced me as the CEO of The Next Web. So, you know, I think that is kind of like my, you know, my first title. I'm a passionate leader. I'm very proud of the work that I do, and also very proud of the company that I work for, very proud of the people that I work with, especially. And I think that, you know, the passion that I have, I get most from not only working with the people inside my company, but also by connecting with the ecosystem and believing in the ecosystem and really hoping that everything that we do and that I do really contributes to making the tech ecosystem a better place.
And how I like also to get deeper in what you have just said about the people, and probably for the ones that are listening to us today, they will be very, very keen to understand how this CEO spirit starts. Did you have this as a dream when you were very young? Did you say, okay, I want to be the CEO of a company leading a team? Or is something that appears over time, or is just a surprise in a moment of your life?
That's a good question, and it makes you think about, okay, what was actually my dream? I think when I was a young girl, I wanted to be a doctor because I wanted to help people, but that didn't work out. And then I started, and I thought, okay, either I want to be a doctor or I want to be in business. So, because in business, you know, you can get things done, and I'm a very, big getting things done type. So after pursuing my career for about, 20 years, about 20 years, I thought, wow, now I know what I want. And I think as well, being over 40, it kind of gives you more freedom in your career, because at a certain time you're more credible and people actually want to listen to you instead of looking at you like, okay, who is this young girl sometimes experience. So I thought that I was like the excellent COO type. So really, getting things done, operational. I thought, I'm not really the visionary. That's more, up to founders, one of the founders that I work with, Boris, but also Patrick. They're really like the visionary. So when I came into the company, I felt so comfortable being a COO, and I thought, okay, this is like my life goal, and I'm going to do this for a couple of years, and then after, I'm going to be the CEO of another company, maybe a bigger one, and then I'll just, I'm fine to give other people success. And then after a couple of years, after 3 years of working at T&W, actually Boris, so the founder of the company, he came to me and he said, look, my CEO role's actually gotten more to the background, and it's more of like an external media role. And, I like what I'm doing, but also, there's a time that I also have to leave and take another position. So he said, I think you should be CEO. And I was like, me? But, no. And he's like, I know you can do this. And I know that you have that vision. And I was like, okay, well, he can be very, you know, he can be very, very convincing. So I thought about it. And actually, in the next week or so, I realized, oh, I actually do have a vision. I didn't figure it out before. So that was quite funny. And it took a while. I thought it was not going to be a lot of change, you know, being COO to CEO. And because I was also already kind of running the company as a COO. Sometimes you have that as COOs. And but it is different. You know, it is different because you get to be in interviews like this because people, you know, really see you as the as a person who leads the company. People look at you. It's sometimes a bit lonely at the top, but it's I'm really enjoying it. I grew into it, I think, quite fast. And I think I still have to grow into it a little bit more. But that's, you know, that's what's so nice about the role, I think. So, sorry, long answer for a short question.
No, I think this is a conversation, and I love the way you express also. I also relate the role of the CEO with a combination of madness, passion, and probably what you said, how to cope with loneliness and some difficult decisions. Yeah. What are your secret tips to rest, to disconnect, not to be all day thinking about the business? Do you run? Do you swim? Do you enjoy friends, yes, family?
Yeah. So I do a combination of everything. Well, I'm not a runner. I am a bit of a swimmer, but I do sports. Yes, of course. I think that it does get sacrificed a little bit every now and then, but I think I try to do sports, you know, twice a week. I'm sitting here now with my dog next to me. I go for a walk with my dog. I think that also really helps me. And what I do most of all is what I tell a lot of women, and I think women who want to have a career. I work full time. I have two kids who are 10 and 13. There's two tips I think that I have for women, and I think in general, you know, if you want to be in a leading position, you have to make your life easier. So you have to make your life as easy as possible, and also sacrifice maybe some money to invest in help at home. So I have an au pair. I have a cleaning lady twice a week, and it really, you know, makes my life easier. It's not as if I make tons of money, but I do sacrifice some of my money to make my life easier. So if I come home, then I can, you know, sit with my kids and wait for the dinner that the au pair then puts on the table. So it also makes me very lucky. And I think apart from that, I also try to, you know, working full time, I try to look at my calendar every week and really see, okay, do I have enough time to think, to digest? I think as a leader, you need time for that as well. So you need to block some time to not have back-to-back to meetings and, maybe cancel or postpone some things that you're not really needed in. So, some tips maybe.
So
that's definitely for me.
So no doubt that we are privileged that we have find a small space in your calendar. Thank you for that. You have just mentioned, I am a member of an association, a Spanish one, that's called EGECON, where we try to foster and to promote women in executive and board roles. And it's probably one of the few in which we have also men involved.
That's nice. That's very refreshing.
And I am part of what we call Engaged Men, right?
Nice.
I am the VP for that, and I always find fascinating how women in leadership positions as you are can help and can inspire people who they think that they have to take a decision in their career, say, okay, no, I cannot go up in the ranks. So how do you, what would you recommend, as you have just done on diversity for men and for women?
Yeah, so I think it's really important for, first of all, you know, it's refreshing, as I was just saying, that men are also joining movements or associations like that. I think that it's really needed. And the other thing that I think a lot of female leaders say is that, you know, we don't like to complain a lot about, oh, look at us women, you know, we're crying about, you know, not having enough attention or not having enough opportunities. I say, but this is also being a white woman, so I feel that I'm privileged in this world. But I always say that it's different for, I think, for women of color and also women of like a different social economic status. But I always say, I've had only opportunities by being a woman, especially in this world. There is like nothing which is kind of leading you or holding you back. Yes, of course, if you want to work 3 days a week, yes, there's something holding you back, because but you can put in some more effort. But I think that you know, if you want to work full time, I think that there's a lot of possibilities. And I also want to add that, you know, even though you can work full time, it doesn't mean that you don't have, or you can make time for your family or for other things. I try to balance this with a lot of things. I must say though that if you are, for example, a doctor or someone who sees, for example, patients, then working full time is a different definition and a different flexibility than what I have, for example. You know, my life is quite flexible. Yes, I work some evenings, but I can also say, okay, if I work sometimes in the evening, I have a commitment, something, you know, like more of a dinner. Then before that, I can be with my kids for 2 hours. So I can be very flexible in managing my own time. So I think that's also a different definition. I think the other definition is kind of like the future of work. You know, how do we balance, you know, not only as women, but also as men, how do we balance our lives in the best way? You know, do we need to go to a 4-day work week? Do we need to go to keep that 4 or 5 day work week, which I'm a favor of, but then build in more flexibility, you know, build in more flexibility so that people can, you know, combine, their downtime, their family time, their me time, their friends time with work.
Well, what I like of what you are just expressing is that this is not theory. This is a living example that you show to people. So I think we have finished this first slot. Let me switch into Spanish. Estamos hoy teniendo nuestras conversaciones con los CEOs, con Myrthe van der Erp, que es la CEO de T&W.
En Capital Radio, conversaciones con los CEOs.
Continuamos con nuestras conversaciones, nuestras charlas con CEOs, hoy con Myrthe van der Erp, CEO de T&W. Que es de NextWeb, que seguro que muchos lo conocéis. Estamos manteniendo una interesantísima conversación. Myrthe, let's move on to understanding better what is T&W. But let me start with our first question. You joined like 3 years ago or so, a company in which you had a CEO who has been also the founder for 15 years. How do you take over with a balance between being humble, recognizing the legacy of the former CEO? And I am asking this because 3 years ago, I had the opportunity of becoming the CEO of a cybersecurity company after the CEO who was the founder and who has been with the company for 30 years. So being able to step into those shoes without destroying things, but also building the next future of the company. How do you feel about that interesting situation?
Yeah, it's a very interesting situation, and it's also something that, you know, I'm very proud of, and especially I have so much respect for Boris, you know, and the way that he did that, and also the way that he actually guided this, because I think this whole transition came also from him. So I think it went quite smooth in our case, because when Boris got me into the company, which is just a bit over 4 years ago, he was looking for a COO, but he was actually looking for someone to kind of take over all of his operational meetings. So I remember the day that I started, he was like, okay, so every meeting that I have now that is kind of like internal, this is all going to you. And then after, he was like 10 minutes later when he moved everything, he was like, okay, this feels super good. So he was really ready for it. I think that already when I started as a CEO, I think that really helped. It made the transition smoother. And then 3 years later, you know, of course, a lot of things happened, and I think we started to work more closely together. And it kind of was a smooth transition. And even now, you know, I speak to him on a weekly basis. He is still in the board of TNW, and he's still involved in the company, you know, much more to the background, of course, as, you know, more as a board member. But it really helps, and I really, you know, get still some mentoring from him on how things are going. Sometimes I listen to them, and sometimes I don't, which he also respects. So I think that's also quite nice. And I think, I think also I'm so different than Boris. And I think that's also good, you know. And I think the last thing that I wanted to say is about this is I always say I try to, and it's not only Boris, but it's also Patrick. So Boris and Patrick both founded this company. And I have so much respect for everything that they built and the vision that they have or had. That I try to build on the dreams of the founders, I always say, but I try to build on those dreams by making them, giving them more focus and also bringing them to reality in a way that is, you know, I think, in an economic and profitable going forward. So,
and probably in this 15 years of TNW being in the market, there has been a lot of changes on the way content and the way digital spaces is playing a role in the society. So let us know a little bit more about what do you do in TNW as a company, and how do you see the market and try to sell the company as well.
Yeah, so there's, you know, it's always difficult, I think, to explain shortly what our company is about, because a lot of people know us from the events that we organize. We organize the Next Web Conference, which is a huge conference in Amsterdam, which is our flagship, as we call it. We have a more elaborate events business, so we do some other tech conferences. We also work for more traditional tech or conferences that want to have more of an innovative aspect, for example, which we call more strategic partnerships. And then apart from events, we also have, because when Boris and Patrick started the company, they started with the event, but then they thought, okay, we only see people once a year. We want to have a continuous conversation. So they started with a site where there's news, so a news platform, which is called thenextweb.com. And thenextweb.com is also one of our business units. So that is the second. The third one is that we have in Amsterdam, which of course is quite local, but it gives us like the experience and the credibility, but also the we have co-working spaces where we have around 80 startups, so 80 tech curated startups that are around us. So we really feel the innovation around us. We really see, you know, what is going on. And what we do is we try to guide these startups to give them the best guidance with, for example, partners like KPMG and also Google. But also, we used to do that with ABN AMRO, so one of the biggest banks in Holland, to make sure they get the best guidance. But also on things like D&I and sustainability, among some other things. And of course, I mean, not to miss, which I think is also a big identity of our company, is a lot of fun. Everything that we do has kind of like a festivalization around it, so that has a lot of fun. And I think so we had, just to repeat, so we have media, we have events, we have co-working spaces, and then the fourth pillar is we have open innovation programs. We have quite a big team with startup scouts where we define innovation challenges for corporates, but also for governments, and then we scout startups, and then we bring that innovation, we connect these people. I think in the end, that is what our company is about. We have four different business units. We do different things. We try to have more synergy between these business units as well. You know, sometimes they grow out to have their own identity. We try to align them in a better way. But in the end, we are all about connecting that global tech ecosystem. That's what we're good at. And that's what we believe we do. We believe that our vision is to be the heart of tech. We always say we are the heart of tech, but of course our vision is really to be the heart of tech.
Well, I love that when someone is able to articulate so neatly, so clearly the vision of a company, of an organization. How do you share this with the team? Because when you talk to people, you say that one of the roles of the leader. And in the book that I wrote, I mentioned to you, I said that the role of the CEO is like a three dimensions. One is to be the chief evangelist officer. The other one is to be the chief engagement officer. And the third one to be the chief execution officer, right? But on the evangelist side, how do you share that vision with your team?
Yeah, Yeah, I think that is the hardest part of the job. My own people are my most critical audience. And I think that is good because it keeps you sharp. And one of the things that I do, and I'm still trying to figure out what the best way is, because this is, I think, something that you have to work on and keep on innovating every day. One of the things that I do is, you keep on repeating what the company is about. You keep on giving examples of what the company is about. And you also try to, and I think it's a lot about, storytelling, about sharing that passion. So not only sharing that, one sentence or different sentences, but really sharing that passion through stories, through people that we meet, taking that back to the people that are in your company that are maybe not also always meeting them, and also asking or trying to motivate people in your company to also come back with these stories and also share them. So I think that's important. The other thing is that, which is really my topic for in the last months, but also going forward, is really that, that open dialogue within the company, trying to get as much conversation instead of just preaching. I think it's a lot about, having that interaction.
Yeah, and I think being the, I like to call it the visible leadership, I would say, is probably one of the challenges, so that you are not in your own office, just being part of the company.
No, it's never in your own office. I mean, I don't even have an own office. I'm always between everyone. So, but I do believe in going to the office, by the way. I'm a huge believer of being in the office, which doesn't mean that I don't believe, that working from home doesn't work, but I think that it should be balanced. But, at least twice a week, I tell this to my people as well. I had a one-on-one coffee with someone yesterday, and I said, you need to be in the office more. I think you're great, but once a week, you're not going to build the relationships that you need, to really be successful. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that also links to something that we are living now in a world where remote working is becoming, I would say, the new normal. How do you keep the engagement with the teams, the feeling that they are proud of belonging to an organization, they connect with each other on those, let's say, informal moments. How do you see that evolving, coming from the heart of tech?
Yeah, so yeah, it's funny that indeed coming from the heart of tech. I think that, with technology we can do so much. And when you look at the whole, metaverse, I mean, you can do a lot more, right? I mean, my husband is working in the metaverse, and he's a big believer of that. And then we have these Oculus, Google Oculus glasses for sure here, and we say, yeah, I mean, it's great, but still, I think the people can't. I think it's a good to combine it. So, of course, for certain, it also depends on the role. So, if you're a developer, and you make code, then I can imagine that, also we have in our company, you can work very well from abroad, and I think it's nice. It's good. I think you have to put in some effort to, to connect also in the informal moments, so in some informal moments online. So not only when it's about work, but also to connect some informal moments. So you do some drinks like we've all done in COVID. Okay, let's do our Friday afternoon cheers on, everyone take a drink and everyone have the same drink, and we all, but then with different time zone, that's also more challenging. So I think it's a challenge to really build a culture just being virtual. And I respect that. I don't have the experience, but I also see that, real life is really important. So being in tech, yes, I do see technology is great, but I also see that in real life is also important. When we do our events and we see that with the in real life connections, that's when you bring the passion and the really connections that are needed.
Mirte, I'm not sure this is going to give you any comfort, but I would say that most of us in our CEO roles, we are still learning how to cope with this new normal, in which we have to learn from the traditional just walking the floor with the employees and with the teams, trying to think about, in this remote environment, how do you create that sense of ownership, sense of belonging in people, right? So
yeah, yeah.
We have covered our second slot. Estamos hoy con Mirte van der Erp, CEO de TNW, de nextweb.com, que quizá os suene más, y estamos teniendo una fascinante conversación sobre su rol como CEO.
Conversaciones con los CEOs, un programa dirigido y presentado por Luis Álvarez Satorre.
Continuamos, seguimos en nuestras conversaciones con los CEOs, hoy con Myrthe van der Herve, CEO de T&W, una de las compañías líderes, como le gusta decir a ella, at the heart of tech, en el corazón de la tecnología, siendo el corazón de la tecnología ese lugar donde compartir. Y en esta tercera parte hablaremos del mundo digital. So, Myrthe, I think you are the heart of tech as that vision for the company. You have been discussing about the relevance of technology and in the change in the way our employees operate. How does the world is changing from your perspective for companies, for our lives in this digital? You mentioned metaverse. I'm very, very interested. I'm sure the people who are listening to us as well about your quite wise vision of that space.
Yeah. So I think what we say, and I think also what we've realized in our role as a company, being a collaborator, you know, being a collaborating in that vision to connect the tech global ecosystem. I think what we believe in is that, and I think what we believed in from the start of our company is that technology is what makes this world, or what can make this world a better place, and also what makes this world drive forward. I think we've known that from the start, from 15 years ago. And I think 15 years ago, we didn't need a lot of convincing, because 15 years ago, it was when there was like a new app or a new feature coming out, everyone was cheering. Oh, wow, that's fantastic. And it's like Steve Jobs, Apple. Oh my God, this is amazing. But then as we got along, we also see, you know, And also in journalism, and I think in writing, and I think we've been part of that as well, I think more of like the negative side of technology. You have big tech now. There's a lot of criticism over big tech. There's all this, governments who are, you know, trying to set policies. There's a lot of complexity around it. But I think that overall, what we see is we try to see, and also in our role going forward, we try to see the positive role of tech. And we believe that tech will help, and we want to also bring forward this positive role of tech, because this is what will, you know, really create, make the world a better place. It will solve a lot of things, hopefully, improve a lot of things, the whole sustainability, making this world a greener place. But there's a lot of challenges, of course, that we realize. But what we try to do is really try to see, okay, how can we make things better? How can we improve things? That's what we do. So, and I think, within that, so it's really the positive side. There's so many technologies that, you know, that are interesting to follow. And we have a whole broad spectrum. We always say we're very broad in covering technology. But what we do is we try to be more specific when we build around, you know, more local ecosystems. So obviously we work a lot with the local ecosystem in Amsterdam and in the Netherlands. I think it's beyond Amsterdam. It's also the Netherlands. We're now going to work with Valencia. We're going to launch our first event in Valencia in Spain on the 30th and the 31st of March. 31st of March next year, so 2023, and we will also work there with, you know, the strengths that are there in the local ecosystem, which is more around health and well-being. For example, in Valencia, it is around industry, and it's really about different developments in that area.
And what do you feel or is the role of technology? We've seen that during the pandemic, it has been able to keep us closer in very, very challenging times. It has inspired, it has allowed us to be in touch with our old parents or with our friends in moments in which we didn't expect that. We still live quite uncertain moments in our society as well. What is the role that technology can play on that environment?
Wow, that's a very big question. And yeah, I would say, well, I mean, we all know that technology plays a big role in that already, and technology can play an even bigger role. So there's a lot of I'm just trying to look for some examples of, you know, where technology can really improve. I think it's for a lot of things, it's technology that makes things, our lives easier and, you know, gets us to, you know, to achieve things faster. I think it's easier, it's faster, it's more efficient. It's also more comfortable. It's also, hopefully, more fair as well. I hope that technology will also create more, I think, opportunities for people across the world. So it's really about maybe solving, you know, some things like, Africa, maybe helping that kind of regions like that to also make those steps faster. You know, what we see, for example, with the rise of the mobile phone in the past, how that has changed for a lot of countries who has actually skipped the whole phone, like the phone connection, and moved straight away to the mobile phones. It gave a lot of opportunities to connect people. So it really comes back to, you know, that connecting people, which also is part of our mission.
And this is probably a difficult question because there are so many things happening. And it's about what is the technology that excites you the most. So when we look to what is going in the market and so on, clearly you mentioned your husband working on Metaverse, so probably you can give a sign to him that is the most exciting one. But what are the things that you see that really excite you, and things that for our kids, for our companies, you think is going to change the most?
Yeah, so for me, what's going to change the most and what intrigues me, I think for sure my husband and my kids would say the metaverse, because my son is a fanatic gamer. So, you know, he usually sits in the spot that I'm sitting. I still have some of his stuff around. And so that is what excites him the most. I think my husband as well in the metaverse. I must say this, the metaverse has, like, you have believers and you have non-believers. You know, people are like, yeah, it's just a trend. I'm not sure about it. I mean, it's nice, but I hear a lot about it at home already. You know, there are some things that, you know, I'm more impressed with, or more impressed and more intrigued by. I think something like digital twinning, I think, is super interesting, which has to do that, you know, you can really create like a twin of a big building by and really can get to plans and construction so much faster and more efficient, and also more green in that sense, more sustainable. The thing that intrigues me has to do with AI, and also with like the feelings. You know, how can AI become more human in that sense? It's also super scary, of course. I think a lot of people are very scared about kind of robotization and you know, AI having to have their own minds and kind of taking over from humans, which I don't think will be a threat. But, you know, that humanization, I think, in AI, and how can we predict feelings? How can we, you know, also help people maybe with more anxiety problems, or, you know, through AI, by recognizing certain feelings and things? I think that's what also intrigues me.
Yeah, as a human. And probably some people are not the best example on the feelings they show externally, so maybe AI can really compete with them quite easily.
True. Yeah, maybe interpretation, right? So sometimes it's like perception versus reality. I mean, there's a lot of there's a lot of layers and a lot of filters, I think, between people.
Wow, Mirte, what an amazing conversation! So thank you very much. I've taken a lot of notes, and I love when you started saying that you have never planned to become a CEO, that you really enjoy to make things happen, right? And now you realize that the CEO can really make things happen.
I kind of forgot about that. Yeah, I didn't realize that, I think.
You also mentioned, which I think is very useful for people, that it probably this applies to CEOs, but applies to any manager, that people looks at you, and that when you have to lead, you have to realize that you cannot hide in a corner. You are going to be visible. And that is going to be very, very important. I love also when you describe the role of a woman in companies and what it means for diversity. When you mention flexibility in the jobs that we have to create for people, I think it's going to be a critical characteristic of it. You make that your tips are to make your life easier, which I think is very clever, and also managing the calendar as much as you can yourself. I think that sometimes we allow things to happen to us rather than us making them happen. I'm sure your team would recognize the open dialogue that you are really fostering these days, and probably that is something that most CEOs and leading professionals should try to encourage, and especially on this distant working that we are having now. I think we also share with you, and personally, it's probably my biggest challenge in my role now as Neoris, which is a digital accelerator, which is building the culture. That is the big challenge in any company. And the final point, among many, many other things, you mentioned how technology can really make this world a better place, and that probably that is a nice combination with T&W being at the heart of tech. But I cannot leave this conversation without asking you a final recommendation for the people like are listening to us, either young girls, as you mentioned before, or more senior executives that are a little bit lost in this uncertain world, or some people who say, okay, I would love to be a CEO or to have more influence in my business, in the society in general. What would be that final tip?
Yeah, so I think above all, I think in anything that you do, it doesn't matter if you're a CEO or if you're, I always say, behind the, and working in a supermarket. I think above all, everything that you do, you should have passion for it. You should do in a passionful way, and you should be happy, try and find your own happiness. And I think a certain amount of stress is kind of healthy for your job as well, to have, but try and go to that place. And I think the second part is, don't believe in limitations or things that are holding you back. Just think in possibilities. And be patient a little bit as well, but keep that enthusiasm and keep smiling. I think that's important.
Yeah. Well, Mirte van der, CEO of T&W, thank you very much for the opportunity of sharing this time with us in these conversaciones con los CEOs today. Thank you.
Thank you as well. Muchas gracias.